The beloved, my guides say that grace is what humans call the incomprehensible friendliness of the universe. There is so much more love and peace and joy and harmony than we have access to most of the time. But we're evolving, and that's the topic for today, spiritual evolution. And the chapter entitled Spiritual Evolution from the book Can We Talk to God by Ernest Holmes. I was delighted with this topic because it made me look at my life differently in the last month as I've been preparing for this. I've been much more conscious of things that I see that are shifting, things that are different than they used to be. And it's given me my idea of what, for me today, spiritual evolution is. And today, what I've noticed in the last month is that every day it's a little different because I'm evolving in my understanding of evolution. But today, it means becoming more aware, living a more mindful life. It means staying in balance more of the time and getting back in balance quicker when I lose it. That's my definition of spiritual evolution today. And I reserve the right to change it tomorrow because I notice I've been doing that quite often. You know, I make a blanket statement. This is what I want. This is where I am. This is how it is. And then a day later, no, it's different. It's more expansive. And the question I've been asking myself lately is, what is the most expansive idea I can find about that subject or that situation? What is the most expansive idea? Because as I keep asking that question, I keep expanding in the ideas that I find in answer to that question. So that helps a lot. And oh, today's? Yes, for me today. It means becoming more aware, living a more mindful life. Thank you. It means staying in balance more of the time and getting back in balance quicker when I lose it. Because I do lose it, but I regain it faster. There was a time in my life when I didn't regain it for a decade, and now I regain it in a couple of hours or a day, and it's always awesome when I feel better after not feeling so good. I notice the difference. There was a time in my life when I lived sort of in gray depression for decades, and I didn't know there was another kind of life. And I remember a therapist saying, "You have a right to be happy." And I said, "No, I don't." That wasn't a concept that I knew. That just was not a concept I was living. And I said to him at the time, "If you told me I had a responsibility to be happy, I'd be more likely to respond." Because I lived a life of duty, you know. It was my duty to be happy. I'd find a way to do it. But unless I had a responsibility to go there, I wasn't going there. Well, life is so different now. I have evolved. And when I look at where I came from, I can see the difference between where I started and where I am today. The quote that took me through my practitioner training, hesitate to say this, but almost 25 years ago, I started Science of Mind training, and on the front of my notebook, I had a quote from page 191 from the Science of Mind textbook, and I knew exactly where to find it because I remembered the page number, because it sat there on the front of my notebook for all the years I took Science of Mind training, where Ernest said, "We know more light will be given as we use that which we have." And we know more light will be given as we use that which we have. That was the quote pretty much from Michael Song. He said, "It's love that holds eternity." And I looked in my books for quotes on evolution because now that I'm a published author, published author, I'm feeling better about quoting myself. So here we go. Uh, This is a long and wonderful quote, but the piece of it that really touches me right now is what Michael said in his song. It's love that holds eternity. And what the beloved said to me is love drives the evolution within the individual. When you love, you bloom. And when you love us, the infinite, and allow yourself to open to the love we feel for you, portals to new possibilities open. So we have this opportunity to open to the infinite intelligence and the omnipresent love that spirit is. And we have that opportunity to evolve and experience that wonderful life that is the fully realized life and yet never fully realized life, because life is eternal and life is infinite. So there's never a ceiling on how good we can feel. And so let's go back and do the rest of that quote, because that's what that addresses. I said, "What is death like, beloved?" And they said, "A constellation of flavors of joy, never oblivion." You know how good you feel this morning? That times 1,000. When you release your local focus, your consciousness expands radically. You feel the power and energy of the collective consciousness of the whole. They said, "Remember that morning you awoke feeling, 'I am free,' so powerfully. Death feels like that times 1,000 too." And I said, "If death is so wonderful, why do we bother to live in human form?" And they said, "Because you can have equally wonderful feelings of homecoming, freedom, and joy now. They may not be times 1,000 yet, but your capacity to experience joy and love is growing significantly and always will. There is no ceiling on how good you can feel within this physical life as you allow yourself to feel joy and excitement. As you come home to us day after day, you are building new structures in consciousness. New patterns of thought are reinforcing new neural networks that generate new chemistry, which triggers the development of new anatomy and physiology." I said, "That's awesome, B." And they said, "Love is awesome. Love is awesome. And it drives the evolution within the individual." So thank you, B. Thank you for expanding me. Because what happens when I talk to the beloved is I always find a more expansive thought. They see from a broader perspective, and they show me something that I haven't seen yet. They show me something bigger and more expansive than I know. Ernest in Can We Talk to God said, "God operates through what we call the law of evolution, and we are subject to this law. It's not a limitation, but it's the way through which freedom and individuality express. There is an unfolding principle within us which is ever carrying us forward to greater and greater expressions of freedom, love, joy, and life." Ernest said, this is from the part of the book where he talks about what he believes. He said, "Each of us, I feel, is on the pathway of an endless expression of life, truth, and beauty. Behind us is the all. Before us, within us, and expressing through us is the all." We are that. We are. We are that. We are that infinite expression of life focused in the physical. And we are sharing the love. We are sharing the creativity. We are sharing the peace. We are sharing the bliss. We are slipping into the hot tub and feeling better and finding a way to express this love, this light, this grace that is the truth of who we are more powerfully all the time if we allow ourselves to be in that expansive mode. Or we can close our hearts and shut our minds and close ourselves down, and we can have the experience of explosive joy when we die. You know, we are infinite, eternal beings. We can do whatever we want in this lifetime, and life is still going to go on and be amazing. But we have the opportunity, as B said, to have the homecoming now, while we're alive, we can come home to the truth of our being. And for our theme for 2014, I heard in meditation to look in a particular direction, and fortunately our leadership team agreed that they liked the theme as well. So the theme for 2014 is Being Human Angels, Cultivating the Divine in Everyday Life. And we're going to use the angel cards because they're fun. And we're going to explore the qualities in human life that allow us to express well-being, that allow us to experience the divine, experience the joy, experience the creativity and love that's right here, right now. It's always here. And as we begin to take it as an axiom that the peace, the love, the joy, the light is always here, even in the moments when we don't see it, it's here, then we begin to look for light in the darkness and light the candle so that we see that perfection. And Ed earlier asked the question, what did I ever do to deserve this? When he talked about how great his life was and how he was feeling that this morning. And what we did to deserve this is incarnate in human form, because we're spirit and we all deserve it. We all deserve a beautiful, blissful, wonderful, self-expressed and expanded life. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, we are innocent and beautiful at the center. And we can find that place within us that already feels worthy, that knows that it is not about being, it is about doing. No, backwards. We are so focused on being humans doing. We want to learn to focus on being humans being. I got distracted there because I was thinking about how Carla talks about the children that she works with who can't do much of anything. They don't function, some of them, particularly in the world, but they're still being and they're still beautiful. And you inspire me all the time when I think about your capacity to see the beauty of being and to not get distracted by what isn't there, but to focus on what is and how that can be amplified. I love that about you. And I love that Val said, God is anecdotal, because I wanted to tell a couple of stories. So you made it perfect for me to introduce that. And I was talking to a friend, and I was talking about something I had once observed about a friend of several of ours, because she told me that coming home the night before, she had been robbed on the subway in Chicago, and that she was jostled by a bunch of kids and didn't realize they had picked her wallet out of her backpack as she was getting off the train. And it reminded me of a story about Robert McEwen, who many of us loved and knew well. And Robert had a stroke, and he wasn't moving very mobily. He was kind of moving slowly and falteringly, and he didn't have good balance. And he was walking one day from the church in Falls Church down to the grocery store at the end, and he was jostled by a bunch of kids. And when he got to the store, he realized his wallet was gone. And Robert's response was probably the most beautiful thing I've ever personally seen in my life. What he did is he went home and he prayed for those kids. And he said, I wish them well. I wish them love. I wish them abundance. I know that they must need something or they wouldn't be doing this. And I wish their lives to be fulfilled. And I see their wholeness and I see their worthiness and I see their truth. And 2 hours later, his doorbell rang. And one of those kids was at his door with his wallet. And he said, we just moved here from our home country. where we lived on the street and stole for a living, but we've decided, we had made a decision when we got here that we weren't going to do that anymore. Our life here in the U.S. was going to be different. And we saw you, and you were such a perfect mark, we couldn't resist. But we got through and talked it over and decided that that's not who we want to be. Makes me cry. And this young man brought Robert's wallet with everything in it back and gave it to him. And he lived, 15 minutes from the church. They traveled to get to his home. They found out where his home was from his license. And they took him back his wallet. And that is an anecdotal experience of God in his life and in the life of those kids who are different because they happened to meet Robert one day. And it reminds me of the thought that even when it looks like something going wrong, it's actually something in the process of going right. Because people come to us in so many different ways. And would somebody bring me a Kleenex? Thank you. I usually remember to stock myself up because when I'm inspired, I make myself cry. I always like that. It's one of the things I love about myself. So God is anecdotal. And as we look around us, we see the opportunity to experience God in so many different ways. And so many different people have that quality of God, that creativity, that beauty, that harmony, that grace, that power, that intelligence. You know, when I have an aha of my mind, I get so thrilled, and someone who brings me a new idea is such a gift in my life. And when I get that aha of the heart, I feel so excited, and someone who brings that to me for whatever reason is such a gift in my life. And I really appreciate this opportunity to expand, whether we're expanding our mind, whether expanding our hearts, whether we're being encouraged to take better care of our physical bodies, or we're being uplifted in some way. All of these ways are ways that we have the opportunity to express the divine in this physical life, because we're both and. We are not either or. We're not physical or non-physical. We're both all the time. And the more we can live in that both environment, open to the infinite and present and mindful here, we bring that divine energy more and more powerfully to this planet. So I'm going to tell a story about myself, too, because I had an experience recently, and as I've told you, I'm noticing that noticing how I'm changing is a part of spiritual evolution. Because if you see that you're doing something different, you can say, is this different, better or not better? Is this who I really want to show up as, or am I moving in a direction I don't want to go? And so I apologize to those of you who've heard this story before, but a couple of weeks ago, I was at Claudemore Park in the rec center where I swim. And as I walked into the locker room, there was a mother there who had completely lost it, screaming at her children in another language. And I was really glad she was screaming in a language I didn't understand, so that I at least didn't take in the message. But the kids were cowering. And my first impulse was to go anywhere but there. And I walked toward the back of the locker room, but where I usually put my stuff was right where she was. And the other parts of the locker room were crowded, and so I was drawn back into this chaotic situation. She was really screaming. And her son was in a stroller behind her. And these two little girls were the ones she was screaming at. They were in front of her. And I went behind her and I unpacked my stuff and listened to her scream, but I smiled at the little boy. And he looked up at me, and he wasn't smiling back, but he was happy to be smiled at. I could feel that it was a relief for him to be smiled at. And so I grabbed my bathing suit, and I went into the restroom, which is 20 feet away. And while I was there changing into my bathing suit, I started just surrounding them with pink light and sending love to this little family. Just quietly sending love to this little family that was having such a big struggle in that moment. And when I came out, the mom was texting on her phone, and she'd stopped screaming. That's good. So I walked up, I smiled at all of them, and I said to her, "You have such beautiful children." And she said, that's my favorite line, actually. It's probably the thing I say most often, because I say it to every mother I see. I have not yet found a mother who didn't want to hear her children were beautiful. So I said to her, my stock line, "You have such beautiful children." And they were. They were exquisitely beautiful children. They could have been child models, and the mom could have been a model. She was gorgeous, too. And she said, "Yes, they are, but they are so stubborn." And she started telling me the story about what had happened in the pool. And the little girl had gotten frightened and wouldn't go in for her swimming lesson. And she'd driven a long distance to bring the kids to the pool, and she paid for all of it. And the kids started screaming and wouldn't go in the water. And she said, and everybody was looking at us. And I could feel that she was from a country, first of all, where screaming in public was not allowed. And highly frowned upon and judged. And I said, "Yeah, but it's tough when you're little and you're scared." And she said, yeah, but she's so stubborn. And then her face changed and she said, "Just like me." She said, "It's like looking in a mirror." And I said, "Yeah, I can understand that." And in that moment, she shifted. And the little girl, the littler girl who was right next to her, launched herself at her mother and threw her arms around her mother's middle and buried her face in the side. As if she was saying, "Oh, Mama, I love you so much. Please don't be mad. Please don't be sad. Please be the love that I know you are." And I said, "Your children love you so much." And she said, "I love them too." And I said, "I know, but it's so much easier when they're asleep, isn't it?" And she laughed and relaxed. And I thought, I'm done. I'm done. That was what I came here to do today. But what I noticed is that in the past, my response would have been to avoid that situation, not walk right into the middle of it. But because I'm changing, my thoughts about what I could do have changed. And I didn't get caught up in what was happening, maybe because I didn't understand what she was saying, but at least I didn't lose my balance. I was able to focus on the beauty of the children and the love that I knew was in the heart of this woman and help bring a little more of that forward into the world. And that's what we're here to do. We're just here to bring a little more love to a place, to light a candle in the darkness, to allow that beauty to shine that we know is already there. It was so easy to see that family and know that the beauty was already there. And just help a little bit. One gentle step. I'll probably never see those people again. But they make me happy to think about. Because I can think about the mom smiling and laughing and having that moment of compassion where she admitted that her children were just like her. And I feel like what she was most afraid of was being judged. And she was calling herself a bad mom because the kid wouldn't go in the water. She was acting like a bad mom by verbally abusing them. But the truth was, she's a good mom who wants to do the best by her children. And that somebody showed up and didn't judge her, but simply loved her and loved them, made a difference that day. Now, it's hard for me to tell those kinds of stories because where I come from, that's bragging. But the truth is that the more we tell the stories about how we're changing and what we're seeing and how we're evolving, the more we make it possible for those kinds of behaviors to be present on the planet. We get to show up and be a powerful influence for good. And even if all I had done was go into the bathroom and send pink light and see them in love, that would have been a lot. But because I did that, I relaxed and I was able to get some more ideas about where this conversation could go that moved it to a new level. And Ernest in Can We Talk to God said, "The time has come in our evolution when we should awaken to a recognition that behind each one stands the eternal mind, that each has complete access to it, that each may come to it for inspiration and revelation. The unfoldment of consciousness has arrived at the place where individuality can realize its own divinity." Individuality can realize its own divinity. And in my book, at one point, I was talking to B about fear. And they said to, they reminded me of a vision I had a few years ago where I walked into a room and, I take that back, I didn't walk in. I saw myself as a mirrored box. Mirrors on all sides of a box with a big purple bow on it. And people walked into the room and they looked at me. And what I realized they were seeing was not me at all, but a reflection of who they were. And they looked all distorted. It was like a funhouse mirror. You know, they were shooting out in all directions. And then in that meditation, the instructions were a master walks into the room and you can have a conversation with them. And Mary Magdalene walked in and she looked like Elizabeth Taylor. She had like violet eyes. She was amazing. She was gorgeous. And when she looked into the mirror, she was perfectly beautiful. And it was a perfect reflection of who she was. And I said, I want to see everyone that way. I want to see the beauty in everyone. How can I do that? And Mary Magdalene said, consciously choose to see the world through a filter of grace rather than a filter of fear. And on this particular day in my book, I was talking to Bea about that experience. And they said to me, when you see yourself through a filter of grace, you are timeless, eternal, and expansive, ever evolving in love. When you see yourself through a filter of fear, you are aging, limited, and contracting. It's not you who is different, just the filter you are perceiving yourself with that changes. And certainly just the filter we are perceiving everyone else with that changes. We have the opportunity to see through the filter of grace. We have the opportunity to see everything in life as love in the process of revealing itself. And that opportunity is enhanced as we simply be mindful of what's happening, relax and observe ourselves and others, look for those anecdotes of God and amplify them, tell the stories. Tell the stories about yourself, tell the stories about the people that inspire you. And as you tell the stories, you anchor the vibration of that inspiration. You make it more real in your life. You vibrate there for the time that you're spent focused on that story. So if you think about the things that are most amazing, most beautiful, most inspirational, most powerful then you live that more and more fully, and you see it everywhere you go. So life becomes more beautiful every day. And you have that balance, and you're able to maintain your balance in more situations, and you're able to regain your balance in situations where you lose it. And you can be kind to yourself as you lose it, and remember that it's okay, you're going to gain it back. And the next time, you will have an intention to have a little different experience. It's not quantum leaps. We don't transfigure and suddenly become something entirely different. Mostly it's next gentle steps. But each day, if we make a little next gentle step, they accumulate. And who we are is different. And life is good. And I am glad. And so it is.